I'm going to take you back to the early 1950s to a down-and-out kid named Gary, who kept showing up to a small library in Chicago. His parents were absent and neglectful, swallowed up by alcoholism. And for this young teen, the library became a sanctuary. And years later, Gary would reminisce about the library in an interview with NPR. He talked about this librarian that watched him. He said, "I was kind of this urchin, you know, a street urchin." She finally said, "Do you want something?" And I said, "Nah, I'm okay." And she gave me a card. It's a card with my name on it. And God, no one had ever given me anything like that. Nobody gave me anything. The librarian also gave him books, starting out with one book a month and then one book a week. And in turn, he would tell her his own imaginative stories, which he called thought pictures. Then one day, the librarian pulled him aside and gave him a Scripto notebook and a brand new number two pencil and told him it was for writing down some of his thought pictures. Gary was skeptical. He said, "For who? Who am I writing this for?" And she said, "For me." In the end, it would be more than just for her, of course. Gary Paulson, would go on to author hundreds of books. You may have read some of them. One of them, Hatchet, was required reading when I was in school. Another, Dog Song, won Gary a Newbery Honor. His books stand out for their raw honesty and struck a chord with young readers who were turned off by other fiction, especially young boys. And in his memoir, Gone into the Woods, and his interviews, Paulson credits that librarian's kindness as the turning point that changed his life, saying, "None of this would have happened except for that librarian, that notebook, that moment of open-heartedness." In Acts, we're primed to think about how Paul changes Lydia's life, how God changes Lydia through Paul. God opens Lydia's heart so that she listens to the truth of the gospel, and she's moved not only to receive baptism herself, but to baptize her whole household. God opens her heart, and in response, Lydia opens her home, inviting and hosting the weary apostles. Then while Paul goes off on his adventures and missions, Lydia stays to found a key early church, the church in Philippi. She does the hard work of building and holding together a fledgling community grounded in that first act of open-heartedness and hospitality. We get hints of that community in Paul's letter back to them, collected in our Bibles as the Epistle to the Philippians. And Lydia is remembered in all sorts of denominations as a saint. And I love that the Orthodox Church gives her the title Equal to the Apostles. Just love that. And in all this, I can't help but pause to wonder how Lydia might have changed Paul. We can see that Paul is perhaps a bit lost. He's not following some clearly laid out plan with guaranteed success after all. He's relying on strange visions to guide his new steps. He's ending up on the outskirts of strange cities. What would it have felt like for Paul to be met by this open-hearted woman? What would it have been like to be welcomed into her home after his long travels? How might one encounter with that open-hearted and generous soul have reinvigorated Paul? I wonder what she taught him. Perhaps you too have encountered an open-hearted person at just the right moment in your life, when you were weary or alone or lost. A teacher, a coach, a friend, a stranger. Someone who opened their heart to you when yours was troubled. For me, it was the military chaplain I met in the deserts of Jordan. I was working for an international NGO on a Fulbright grant, and I was 2 years into giving up on God, on my faith, on my childhood dream of becoming a minister. But this one chaplain, who wasn't even Christian himself, took the time to encourage me, dared to suggest there were gifts inside of me still yet to be used in the spiritual service of others. None of this would have happened except for that. We risk so much by being open-hearted in this world. It took barely a week and a half for scammers to start sending out solicitation emails in my name to parishioners. When you've been hurt, when you are grieving, it can feel foolish to approach your life with an open heart. After disappointments and betrayals, open hearts can feel difficult even within a marriage, a family, a close-knit community. When we are relentlessly bombarded with reminders of violence and cruelty of the world, the virality of hateful rhetoric and racism as we have been this week, open-heartedness can feel downright naive. And that's why I think it's important to notice that it is God who opens Lydia's heart to this strange band of missionaries and the truth they had to say. She does not do it on her own. God is right there with her. Jesus says to his followers in a dark and frightening hour on the eve of his brutal execution, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Jesus says to us, "You are not alone. I will not leave you to figure this out on your own." His invitation is clear. Choose peace over fear. Let your heart be opened. There's a chance that this week or next week or in the next year or maybe years from now, you will have the chance to be that open-hearted person in someone else's life. There's a chance you will meet a troubled heart, lost and afraid. Might be a stranger, could be your own relative, a friend, or child. I believe that one of the reasons we come here, to this place, week after week, one of the reasons we pray and practice finding Christ's peace in our hearts is that so we might be ready to be open-hearted in moments where it feels most impossible, foolish, and naive. We seek nourishment, refreshment, and rest that enables us to recognize God's opening of our hearts in the moment we're needed most. Gary Paulsen has said that the librarian who changed his life probably never knew he went on to become a successful author. He never knew her name. His first books weren't even published under his name. It's quite possible she never learned how God used her gesture of open-heartedness to touch so many young readers. It's possible that we may never know how our own open-heartedness has changed the world years later, lives later. Jesus invites us to open our hearts, our lives, and our homes anyway. Jesus invites us to look for the troubled hearts among us and to be the peace he gives. Amen.